This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios, the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. Don't kill that music yet. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Shane and John?
Yeah, I feel it.
Maybe. We're going to have to see.
And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows for use by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are back. This is the Freedom Fiends. I am Jeremy, joined tonight by John and Shane. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing well.
I'm doing pretty good, thanks.
All right. And since we here at the Freedom Fiends are always in a teaching hospital moment, I think we got a new board op on tonight. Seems like a nice guy, but yeah, never cut the music. Always let that music play out. Cut the volume, but let it ride out till the end. Because usually I time it right and I can get the whole intro in while the music's still playing. Anyway. So yeah, we're back again. And it's Sunday night, Monday morning. And with this crew, lately, we've been doing the cryptocurrency news for at least an hour out of every show. Last week, we switched it up to the second hour, but this week, we're going to bring it back again because, well, we just can't keep stopping talking about this stuff because it just keeps going crazy. I mean, Bitcoin is currently scratching at the door at 10,000 USDs, which is pretty insane. Although I do know a couple of people who did predict it by the end of 2017. I know, I think Brian Sovereign was one of those people. a couple other people, like serious predictions earlier, either late last year or early this year. Which is actually kind of crazy because early this year, I mean, what was the price of Bitcoin earlier this year? I mean, it was still pretty low, right? It was only around 1,000 or two, right? Before it started spiking up. So to say that with any kind of air of certainty and have it come true like this, you know, a lot of people were predicting it would finally hit this, you know, maybe next year. You know, there's been lots of talks about, you know, where it'll be around 2020 or something like that. But yeah, this latest surge, we were just talking a little bit before the show and, you know, a lot of times, you know, there was the last time there was the huge jump and then drop, which actually wasn't that long ago, it was only a couple of months ago, was when Jamie Dimon came out and made that statement about Bitcoin being a fraud. And then you know, then we found out a couple of days later that JP Morgan was actually getting it, you know, trying to get into the crypto market. But him saying that caused the price to crash. So, you know, usually it's stuff like that that ends up, and then they come in and buy it. So, you know, people manipulate the market that way. But this recent surge really seems to be, you know, and again, for anybody who hasn't listened before, I'm one of the newbies when it comes to cryptos, but I've been paying attention enough and I listen to a lot of people who are a heck of a lot smarter than me when it comes to this stuff. And they seem to be, it all seems to be pointing at just newbies finally getting into the market because they're seeing how much the price is soaring and going, oh, we got to get in on this. So there's a whole bunch of new, first-time buyers now. And then you guys were mentioning before the show stuff that, you know, is becoming more mainstream and ending, you know, we were talking about getting on show, you know, people talking about it on TV and stuff like that. I think that has a lot to do with it. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
No, well, I absolutely think so.
I'm actually kind of new at crypto myself, but I've been learning a lot pretty quickly. And I know that there's going to be some announcements coming out pretty soon about Bitcoin going even more mainstream because the CME is going to announce futures on Bitcoin. So it's going to be traded like on the actual stock exchange, I think. So a lot more people are looking into it. And we even have an article here from CryptoCoinNews.com. And it's about mainstream sitcom Big Bang Theory will dedicate an entire episode on Bitcoin. And they talk about how one of the most popular sitcoms in history, with 17 million average viewers for its latest season, will dedicate an entire episode to Bitcoin. It's episode 9 of season 11, which is coming up here pretty soon.
9/11, Illuminati confirmed.
What was that?
Didn't you say season 11, episode 9? I just reversed and said,
wow,
I said 9/11.
Episode 9 of season 11. Yes, it is. Which is supposed to air on the 30th of November, coming up real soon here.
And the 30th. That's my next court date. Woohoo! Wonderful date. Oh, all right. Wow. Not.
Anyway, the episode is entitled The Bitcoin Entanglement, and they expect the show to introduce Bitcoin to the mainstream, to an important consumer base for Bitcoin. The Big Bang Theory is most watched amongst viewers in the age group of 19 to 35, which is relatively young for a popular sitcom. It says, over the past 12 months, several popular TV series, including Mr. Robot, have featured Bitcoin, including the cryptocurrency, to a consumer base that likely has not heard of Bitcoin yet. And exposure of Bitcoin by massive influential TV series like Big Bang Theory and Mr. Robot is vital for the long-term growth of Bitcoin, as it will aid the growth of mainstream adoption of Bitcoin as a robust store of value and currency in the upcoming years. But it also mentions Big Bang's awkward relationship with China. The Big Bang Theory's main feature of Bitcoin on episode 9 is particularly interesting because of the long history between the show and China. In 2014, the Chinese government started to crack down on Western shows and video sharing platforms, allowing domestic technology companies like Tudou and Youku to take over the video sharing and streaming markets. Says in the mid-2015s, however, Big Bang Theory reappeared in China in one of the most widely utilized local video platform, Sohu. Since then, Chinese viewers have been permitted in streaming and watching the TV series from legalized service providers, which I can't pronounce.
Here, you're allowed to watch this show. Yeah, that's great. I don't know. I never got into that show. Although I did watch it for a little while, because I think, as we have discussed on this show before, although it's probably been a while, my sister was actually on that show way back in season two, I guess it was, when she appeared as Sheldon's twin sister and then was never heard from again, which is really weird for the twin sister of the main character of the show to never make an appearance. I have already stated my reasons why I believe that is the case. but I really haven't watched it much since then. But I mean, if it's in season 11 at this point, then it's obvious. And you said, 17 million, which I guess is still pretty good numbers for TV. So, you know, that's definitely, because you would think a show about nerds and stuff like that, that maybe more people would have known about it already. But from what I remember about that show, a lot of people who are actual nerds and actual scientists hated that show because they always got a lot of stuff wrong. And so it's probably just people who find the show entertaining. So, yeah, I think it's an excellent opportunity for more people to find out about it. I mean, hopefully. Go ahead.
I've actually been a fan of the show, and I'm not current on the current season, but I have kind of watched it long enough to be able to suspend some of my disbelief when it comes to the technical discrepancies that they may or may not have. But I enjoy their sense of humor.
They're also total commies. They're a bunch of commies.
Yeah.
Who's that? The people on the show?
The characters on the show. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, I don't really I remember watching it for a little while, but yeah, I mean, either way, it's definitely an extremely popular show as far as TV goes, so it'll definitely get more people at least aware of it. Like you said, Shane, according to the article, I mean, other shows have touched on it. I'm sure I would have heard of it by now, even though I don't watch TV anymore, but I'm not aware of any other show that's done an entire episode on it. I should But that, you know, you said so that's going to air next week. I can imagine what that's going to do to the market, because, you know, as we were talking about, it does seem right now that there's already this huge push from a bunch of newbies that have just recently found out about this because of the wider acceptance, and because of the futures game that you mentioned too, being able to trade, on openly on the stock market. Then yeah, it's definitely going to be in front of more people's eyes. So maybe this surge will keep going. I mean, it's scratching on the door at 10 grand. Who knows? Maybe we'll see 12 before 12, maybe even higher before the correction finally comes in. That'd be exciting.
Yeah.
You know,
Bitcoin could get a Big Bang Theory bump and go over 10K.
Yeah. I mean, I expect it to hit over 10 before that. So, you know, like we have oh, well, 4 days.
I've been expecting it to hit 10K. I just didn't think it would happen so fast.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, there's been a lot of people talking about it for, you know, years now. And I've heard from the people that are supposed to be recognized as, like, you know, the ones you should listen to, because they're pretty good at their predictions when it comes to this stuff. You know, a lot of the more serious ones have been starting to talk more and more seriously about, like, the higher numbers, like 20, 25,000. And, you know, they're only talking a couple of years off from that. So, yeah, it makes sense that it would start happening now, especially because it's still such a volatile currency, and it's going to continue to swing. I mean, if you just watch the tickers or anything, I mean, they change constantly. So the swing, you know, it's constantly moving. So volatility is still very high. You know, I just whatever, man. I'd love to see more people adopt it. Even if Bitcoin now becomes like the gateway drug for other people, because, you know, there's still rumblings about the fact that Bitcoin may just end up becoming the digital gold, essentially, and people won't be using it as a cash, because the, you know, if the transaction issues, you know, the fees and stuff like that don't get fixed, then people will definitely continue to move over to other altcoins for their cash, you know, for their transactions and stuff like that.
I think I've said before that Bitcoin Core is trying to fix a lot of those problems. And even if they do, the fact that Bitcoin goes up so fast is going to make people want to hodl it and not spend it anyway, because if they had spent it, it's going to be, you know, worth even less. I mean, well, worth more in comparison if they had just held it.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, because you know, I've watched my own holdings continue to climb, which is funny, because I was just remarking to Jen earlier, I think it was today, maybe yesterday. Yeah, I think it was earlier today when I said, you know, it's a good thing, you know, whenever it was a couple of weeks ago, I think, and she seems to remember it as only last week, but I don't even know if the surge might have been that quick. I don't even know. But as of like a week or two ago, I was looking at all my holdings and considering just cashing out, because, you know, everything was dropping at that point. And I was down to a number where I was like really considering that I should maybe drop out, and I'm so glad I didn't, because now my things have turned around, and like you know, my numbers have almost doubled at this point, so it's pretty crazy. Yeah. We'll have to talk more about this when we get back. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Again here, because, well, it's Sunday night, and that's what we do these days. but I don't even remember. We were just talking about something during the break. I totally forgot about it. It's probably relevant, but yeah, I mean, this whole the whole crypto world is just, I mean, right now it's super crazy, because everything has been rising. You know, Bitcoin, like we were talking about, is coming close to 10 grand, and, you know, Dash shot up to over, I think it hit like as high as 650, maybe even higher. It's been holding around 630 for the past day, I think, or, you know, at least almost 24 hours. You know, so that's kind of exciting, because I know there's a lot of people that are down on Dash because they're not as secure as they claim to be, or at least that's the accusation. But it does, you know, the fee issue.
Proof to that accusation?
No, I think it comes down to like how they do their addresses and stuff like that. Like the argument is their claims are overblown. You know, they're promising things that it's not actually, you know, capable of. Kind of like how originally Bitcoin was claimed to be anonymous when it's not actually, you know, really totally anonymous type of thing. But people kept pushing the idea anyway, you know, that type of stuff. I don't know. I mean, I've held a little bit of Dash for a while now, and I don't, you know, I'm fine with it as far as
yeah. I think the majority of the people using Dash don't really care about that part of it so much, because they are using it for, like, you know, their coffee and their gas and stuff like that.
Well, exactly, because the transaction times are quick and the fees are a lot cheaper than Bitcoin is currently. So yeah, that's a big plus. You know, so that surged. Bitcoin Cash has been fluctuating like crazy, but it's still holding up pretty well. You know, I think pretty much everything I held went up, even though I had one of those I should have bought more moments. Because I don't know if either of you guys are into or know about Vertcoin.
Oh yeah.
You know, Dash's baby brother, I guess, essentially. Because, right, it's one of the Dash crew, or no, it's one of the Monero crew, right? It's one of the Monero crew. It's one of their side projects. Is that who it is? I can't remember. It's one of those two. I think it's the Monero team, one of their devs. It's a side project for them. But I had been saying it for a while. I was looking to get into that, and I was just going to buy a little bit of it. And then it rose all the way to $4, and just on a whim the other day, I was like, you know what? I'll throw $100 at this and just see what happens. And like an hour later, I was like, maybe I should throw another 100 or two at it. And then I didn't. And then, of course, the next day it shot up to, I think it shot up over $6 at one point, and now it's dropped back down again. It's been around $5.50. But, yeah, you know, which is not a lot, but you're talking about a huge gain there, because it was at $4 and it went up $1.50. So what kind of percentage rate is that? Is it 33% increase, something like that, almost?
Yeah.
You know, 30%. And it, you know, that's pretty big, especially if you had bought in a lot more at the time. And that's the crazy thing that can happen in these markets, which it's exciting. It's it can be a little scary. It can be frustrating as heck, especially when things don't work. Because the same day I made that transaction, I tried to pick up another coin through Changely, and that exchange still hasn't gone through.
Wow.
It's been 2 days. Apparently they're having a problem with it. It's the Pivx coin, which, yeah, I know. Just again, I was just going to throw a little bit of money at it, because it was only around, I think it was just under $3 when I attempted to buy some of it. So again, I was like, oh, I could throw $100 at it, get like 33 of these bad boys, 34 of these bad boys, and we'll see what happens. And of course, again, that price surged too.
Nice.
And but I couldn't get a hold of them, and I still don't have them. But I wrote to support, and they actually got back to me pretty quickly, which was great. You know, I think I heard back from them like 3 hours, even though they told me the normal response time is 24 and they're dealing with other issues, so it may be longer. They still got back to me in 3 hours and were like, oh no, it's not you, it's the coin, this coin, we're having problems with it, people are working around the clock, they're not taking breaks, we'll get this fixed as soon as we can, you know. So you can miss out with stuff like that. That's why mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you get on the exchanges, and especially if you set up the the buy and loss, the buy and sell markers, where, you know, it just automatically works for you, then I guess that's beneficial for times like that. I still haven't jumped into that arena yet. I'm really, that's not me, man. I don't know. Do you deal any of the exchanges?
No, not really so much. I know someone who does, but they don't try to day trade with it, because I don't know if those go through quite fast enough to take advantage of the volatility.
Yeah, it's too much for me. Too many more passwords and stuff to remember, and where my money is, and or currency is, rather. Arms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important, because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Really? Yeah.
about crypto as we do on Sunday nights here. I'm Jeremy, still here with Shane and John. And, you know, we were talking about how, you know, just how crazy the prices have been getting, especially lately with everything, you know, just about everything seeming to be on the rise. And, you know, to that end, I think, John, you had one article actually talking about, like, you know, how big the market caps are getting on these things and how insane it's getting. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, actually, it looks like just over this past weekend, all cryptocurrencies combined have surpassed the market cap of Bank of America. So, you know, there's more money flowing through the cryptocurrencies than the Bank of America, and Bitcoin accounts for half of that. So if you think about it that way, Bitcoin is about half as big as Bank of America.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Because despite all the scandals and everything else that's gone on and, you know, the bailouts and everything else, and how Bank of America was, you know, kind of it kind of involved in a lot of that stuff, despite that, you know, what should be the customer dissatisfaction, plenty of people still use it. So it's definitely... that, you know, there's a lot of money flowing through there. So just to think about that, and the fact that cryptos are getting that big, that's nuts, man.
Yeah.
Let me check the numbers right here.
I think it said something about
$277 billion for Bank of America.
Wow.
And, 280 some billion for cryptocurrency.
So 140 something billion, close to 150 billion. Yeah, Bitcoin somewhere at 150 billion, somewhere around there, right? I think I saw that number floating around recently. So, yeah, that's just that's crazy. I mean, you know, I hope it continues.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like I was saying earlier, for me, it's like, even if this new surge of all these, you know, because it's becoming more mainstream to a certain respect, that if all these people are getting in, even if for a lot of them, it just ends up being the gateway drug, you know, I'm fine with that too. Because, you know, I've diversified myself amongst a bunch of different cryptos, and I know plenty of other people do too. And that's, you know, beyond all that, that's just the idea. One of the ideas that I know I and others, I'm sure you guys do, and, you know, plenty of us have talked about over the years about, you know, how do you replace certain things? Well, you know, when people talk about, oh, you need the government to print the money. No, competing currencies. You know, that's what you want. That's the ideal. You want those competing currencies to, just like everything else, competition in every market, you know, encourages and, you know, encourages innovation and better services, you know, raises the quality rather, you know, because it's the natural force on the natural forces of the market like that, where it's, you know, you have to get better. Otherwise you're going to lose out. You know, if you're, you know, you don't want to be the Dogecoin. Even though I know that spiked like what 40% something the other day, even over Doge, what's Doge trade at? Something like, you know, a thousandth of a penny or something like that.
It's like a fifth of a penny, I think, at this point.
Well, yeah, because it's surged now, but like, you know, but you know, before it's so, you know, you don't want to be on that end, and you know. Although I do believe the Japanese version of that has actually been doing pretty well for the most part, right? Isn't that what Monacoin is? Isn't it a kitty coin?
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, there's a coin that I recently became aware of. I believe it's called Monacoin, and I'm almost positive that's the one I'm thinking of. I should probably look these things up as I'm talking about it, but I'm just too lazy. But it's in either Japan or Korea, but it's got a cat on it instead of a dog. Like the symbol's a cat instead of a dog, like the Dogecoin was. But it seemed, you know, originally most people took it as a joke, like Doge was, but it became really big in the market over there, wherever, like I said, I can't remember if it was Japan or Korea, but wherever it was, it just became huge. And I think the last I checked, it was trading somewhere close to $3, you know,
wow.
And it's a relatively new coin. So that's another one. If you're somebody who, you know, because I know plenty of people who threw money at Doge, even though they knew it was going to be worthless, because it was just one of those things. Oh, I might as well have, like, you know, if I throw like a, you know, $10 at it, I'll have a whole crap load of them.
And it's funny, if even a joke coin is trading around $3, that doesn't seem like very much, and that's a low end of the crypto market, but $3, that's still more than a US dollar.
This is true.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, yeah, to some extent, there might be, you know, some bubblage going on here, you know, and as we've talked about, and we were talking about during the breaks too, you know, I'm sure that the correction is going to, you assume the correction is going to come at some point, just based on the history and the volatility, and even, you know, the newbies coming in may be able to stabilize it for a while, but you got to assume there's going to at least be some kind of correction. Because I think we're far from done, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm hoping that we can get a good healthy 30% or 40% correction. Then that way we can get back in at a discount and get some more Bitcoin before it goes to the moon.
A discount, yeah. See, like, that's one of the things we're talking about during the break. Yeah, I unfortunately have no more. I have no more money I could be throwing in. Even if an overcorrection happened and it dipped all the way back down to five for a little bit, or under. You know, I can't afford, obviously, in my current situation, trying to get myself out of here and everything. You know, I don't have any type of capital to be throwing at that. So, you know, I'm relegated to playing with what I have and trying to shift that around and catch the next, not necessarily the next big thing, but, you know, at least something that's, you know, the next kind of big thing. You know, something that'll jump up to like $100 or $200, and you know, you still have the opportunity to get in at under $5. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I'm looking at, which goes to what I was talking about with, you know, hopefully a lot of these people getting in, you know, will use Bitcoin as their kind of gateway drug, and they'll start migrating to these other currencies too.
Yeah.
And you know, make their system stronger and more, you know, and more robust, and you know, hopefully when we're having this conversation come this time next year, like we'll be talking about a whole bunch of coins that have you know, flourished. You know?
Yeah, they do say that about 9 out of 10 ICOs will fail, and about 9 out of 10 altcoins will with it. And you just kind of have to do your research into each one and figure out which dev teams you like and which, you know, technologies you prefer. And those are the ones that you can actually put some money into for the long term. But I know you mentioned Vertcoin before, and one of their philosophies is to maintain decentralization at almost any cost. So if an ASIC is ever developed, you know, to mine Vertcoin, then they'll hard fork around it. So, you know, I really have a lot of faith in stuff like that. Although, you know, do your research. You know, don't take our word for it. But yeah, there's a lot of choices out there.
Yeah, we are by no means making recommendations in any way, shape, or form.
Although, it's hard to find any altcoin that will perform as well as Bitcoin in the long term. Because even though Bitcoin does have these corrections, it goes up a lot more than it goes down.
Well, sure, but you know.
But still, with the altcoins, you have a chance to get in at a lower like ceiling. So then you can actually probably make more money if it spikes. You know what I'm saying? Like
there is that one in a million chance that coin, the altcoin you choose, could become the next big altcoin and gain a significant market share. But the odds are really low that you'll pick the right one. And I'm not saying that, you know, the average person isn't going to invest their money wisely. It's just there's so many coins and so much research to do. It's like shooting fish in a barrel at this point, as if picking the right one.
Well, oh, sure. Yeah. But with Bitcoin, like I think we were saying on the break, even if you were to invest like $1,000 now and it were to shoot up to 30 grand, you're really only making a couple $1,000s. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, right. that is money to be made, but I think we're kind of past the point where like millionaires are made off of small investments on Bitcoin.
Yeah.
On Bitcoin. Yeah.
Yeah. No, because that's funny because Michael actually had a post about that today. You know, something about, you know, he had like $5 worth of Bitcoin or something like that, or $10 worth of Bitcoin, and he wanted to know how long it was going to be before that would be, you know, he could get a Lambo with that, you know. and I said, I don't know about a Lambo, but, you know, probably get a lamb or two pretty shortly. because even $5 may be worth, you know, if we see these giant gains keep happening, even $5 will end up being worth a little bit of, you know, decent amount of money pretty soon.
Yeah, maybe $100, you know.
Exactly, you know. So, but yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. I mean, I think both of you are right. I mean, in one respect, Shane, of course you're right. You have to be able to do your research and stuff. But that's why for me, you know, I do as much research as I can. But that's why I rely on a whole bunch of people that are a heck of a lot smarter than me. And I have a couple of friends that are involved in this, and then I have some other people that I've gotten to know over the years through other other avenues that I just follow, you know, what they're doing. And I see how well they're doing, and I just try to kind of like mimic a lot of what they do. other things, you know, because again, you know, if this of course is if you have a little bit of money to be throwing at this stuff, because you know, as everybody always says, never, you know, just like the stock market, just like anything else, never put in what you can afford to lose.
Right.
So obviously, you know, this is, you know, assuming you have a little bit of money to put in, but you know, you can just put in and hold, or you can just put in, you know, you don't have to put in that much. And when you're talking about these coins that are still under, you know, under $5, and there's other ones that are still even lower than that, you know, you really don't have to invest that much money, and just let it, you know, let it hang out and wait and see what happens type of thing. You know, for me, it's obviously a little bit different because I have some money. I have some stock built up here, you know, because as I've mentioned before, I was lucky enough to get in early enough that I was able to make my money back already. So now I am technically playing with, you know, free money at this point.
Yeah.
So I can afford to play a little bit with that. But I know plenty of other people who have talked about having somewhere around the same amount of money that they could or already do put in stocks and bonds and other things like that. And I'm like, well, here you go. I'm playing with that type of money, too. So, you know. Why not try?
Exactly.
But with that music rolling in, we're gonna have to go to a different type of market. But we shall return.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
Yeah. And we're back for this final segment of the first hour. And, of course, we'll continue the crypto talk. I don't even remember where we left off at this point. We had so many different side conversations going on during the break. But I know the one thing that I meant to start off the show with, but we ended up getting distracted by it. Shane, you brought up that other article, which turned into a great conversation on its own. But you know, speaking of, you know, getting into the game, and if you, you know, because there's a lot of people, I constantly see people on social media, even though I try to be there less and less these days. When I do get on there just to lurk for a little bit, I still see a bunch of people still making the same type of post about, you know, it's still not too late to get in, still not too, yeah, and they're talking about just in Bitcoin in general, you know, still not too late, you know, just throw a little bit of money into it. But, you know, another way to try to get into the game, which is still possible, is the mining game. And it's not, you know, not really possible. Well, not possible pretty much at all for Bitcoin. And even for a lot of the other coins, like even Ethereum is becoming harder and harder these days. But there's still plenty of coins that you can mine that are starting to look up even more and more. One of the ones is which I'm very interested in is Monero, because that's one of those coins that I know a lot of people are high on, and it hasn't broke out just yet. It's, you know, it shot up to, I think, 175 a couple days ago.
Doing really well
with its high market. It's managed to hold. It's still holding around 150, 160, somewhere around there. Last I checked. But because it's not on it's on the exchanges, but it's not a lot of the, it doesn't have the same support for a lot of the different wallets and stuff, so it's, you're not able to get it easily unless you go through the exchanges to buy it or buy it directly. So it's not one of the ones I've actually gotten around to getting yet, although I keep meaning to. So I just decided to say, screw it, I'm going to go out and just try to mine it, because despite some people, including people who are very high on it and people who I know who have made a lot of money off of it already, who are saying it's not worth it to get into it unless you spend 50 grand on a mining rig, I learned that's just really not the case. Because with the algorithm, the Crypto Knight, I think the algorithm they use.
Crypto Note.
With the algorithm you use, the hash rates that you need to be able to still secure a decent amount are actually not that high when you look at the other different blockchains and what their hash rates are up to at this point. You know, like, what do you need? Something like some crazy like giga hash thing or mega giga hash or whatever it is, yeah, to even come close for Bitcoin. Even Ethereum is up to, you know, somewhere I think you need over 300 mega hash to even make, to even get anything back at all, and even then it's not that much. But Monero, if you can manage to create a machine that's still, that's doing somewhere like 6,000 hash, you can still make a profit. And with the new graphics cards that just hit the market in the past couple of months, the new Vegas, the Vega 56s and Vega 56s and 56s and 64s, these things are like triple the hashing power of pretty much every other card out there. I found a bunch of different how to videos on how to build your own rig, but actual specific modifications to make for these particular cards that can get these things jacked up to, like, I think it's like each card you can get up to close to 2,000 hash rate off of each card. And so that's what I've been doing for the past couple of days. I ordered the stuff against Michael's advisement, because he was trying to talk me out of it too. But again, I've made enough money at this point in the crypto market that I was like, you know what, I can afford to throw, you know, if I can get it done for under $3,000, then it's totally worth it to me. And I was able to secure all the parts, although I've had to scramble around to get little bitty things over the past couple of days, which has been really annoying, because Amazon did send me a couple of wrong parts that screwed everything up, and getting replacements quick was difficult because Black Friday just passed and all the stores are wiped out of stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, that's definitely I'm learning. I got the thing I was telling you guys before the show. I got my machine almost there, and I made a mistake. I have to go back a little bit, but I'll figure it out. And if you want to get into the game, it's still possible to do that, because Monero is definitely profitable to mine right now, and a lot of other coins are looking like they're going to be profitable too. So plenty of ways to get in the game. Get on that. But with that, we're going to head out to the break, and we shall return in the second hour. Worms.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com. We'll be right back.
Fiends,
broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to BIPCOT.org. All right. This is the Freedom Fiends, and we're back for the second hour, and I'm here with Jeremy and John.
What up?
And we spent the first hour talking about crypto like we tend to do on Sunday nights, but we're going to switch it up here, and we've got a few articles lined up from the Free Thought Project, and they were written by none other than our very own John Vibes.
Yeah, well, first off, the main story that I've been focusing on this week is actually kind of close to my house in Baltimore. Of course, I don't live in the city. I'm about an hour away out in the woods. But so last week, there was this cop that was shot in Baltimore, and they basically put the whole city on lockdown. It was pretty much national news that it was borderline martial law. And we didn't really get too many details about it at first. And then a week later, there was still no suspect, which is highly unusual. And by highly unusual, I mean it's never happened in Baltimore before. Cops have been shot plenty of times, but they're always apprehended almost immediately. The longest somebody has gone with shooting a cop and getting away with it in Baltimore was over 50 years ago, and they only got away for 5 days, and they made it all the way to Oklahoma. And this has been 2 weeks now, and still there's nobody. So a week afterwards, we find out that this guy that was shot, this cop, was actually a whistleblower who was set to testify against all of these other corrupt cops in the Baltimore City Police Department the day after he was shot. And to make matters even more sketchy, his regular partner was not on duty that day. He was off for some odd reason, and some weird guy that is seen in pictures like wearing this like white flashy suit. He's definitely a cop, but he there's something strange about the dude for sure. And he's the one who apparently drove this cop to the hospital after he was shot and where he was eventually pronounced dead. So there's a whole bunch of fishy, smelly, you know, stuff about this. And even the mainstream media was reporting that, you know, all these sketchy details, the fact that it was the day before he was set to testify, they have kind of shied away from reporting that his partner wasn't with him since all this information came to light. But prior to the fact that, prior to everybody learning that he was a whistleblower, the mainstream media was pretty liberally reporting that it wasn't his partner that was with him on that day. So then the police commissioner, just a couple days ago, did some press conference trying to say it was his normal partner, which was obviously a lie because his regular partner was interviewed like a week prior about how he wasn't there. So this thing is crazy.
Right. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that just don't add up with this story.
Yeah, no. Exactly. And the longer that this goes without a suspect, I mean, the more sketchy it looks.
Yeah, of course, because, I mean, that's, it doesn't seem to, I mean, that's interesting about that specific, you know, what you were saying, nothing like this has happened, you know, you said it's been 50 years, and it since it took anywhere near, you know, since it took longer than 5 days, so, you know, that seems to be the case in just about every jurisdiction. Anytime a cop is shot, you seem to, like, you know about it right away, whether it's huge and makes, like, national news, like, I guess this one did, although, since I haven't been paying attention to much of anything in the past week or so, I completely missed this one until you sent me these stories. I think I might have seen one headline about it at some point, but I didn't pay attention to it. But you know, whether it's something like this, or you know, who is it, Christopher Dorner out in LA, or you know, because he was, you know, shooting back at, you know, former cop shooting at other cops, or the what was the kid in PA that with the manhunt went on for a couple days, or maybe even a week, more than a week maybe, but still they knew who it was right away. So whether it's like that, or even if it doesn't make national news, they definitely have at least a suspect within a day or so.
Exactly. Know. There's no such thing as like no evidence, no suspect. Oh yeah, and this cop was shot with his own gun too. Forgot about that part.
Yeah, that's any of these things separately, most likely no big deal, or just happened to happen that day or whatever, you know, bad luck or whatever. But all of them together, yeah, him being shot by his own gun, the obviously the biggest one, the fact that he was set to testify the next day, you know,
yeah,
that, you know, that just, I mean, on one hand, it seems like nobody would be that blatant because it would just be too obvious. But on the other hand, like, what are the, you know, this is obviously like, you know, when you want to talk about motive.
Yeah, and these are thugs we're dealing with, you know. Straight
well, yeah.
Up. I mean, this guy that was his partner really, really looks shady. And this Baltimore activist group called Baltimore Block, they did this. All they did was searched mutual friends on Facebook, and they discovered that this guy who was his stand-in partner for this day, this sketchy guy, is Facebook friends with one of the people that the guy was supposed to testify against. Now, this could just be because they work at the same department. It is a large department, but it could be because they worked at the same department, but it could also be because they know each other and they're friends, you know?
Well, yeah. Again, another one of those things on it, you know, on its own, with just like all the other ones. Yeah, you could chalk it up to being a coincidence, or again, just something as simple as, oh yeah, they happen to work together, you know. But when you put all the other things together, it definitely seems like there could be something wrong here, maybe.
Yeah. The first thing to me was that it happened the day before he was supposed to testify against these bad cops, you know. And I always hear people say, well, if there were good cops, you know, why don't they go after the bad cops? And here's a story of a good cop who tried to do just that, and we see what happened to him. So maybe this stories like this are why there aren't any more good cops.
Well, no,
yeah, exactly. And in Baltimore, I mean, I've done multiple stories about stuff like this, because there have been a lot of whistleblower cops to come from Baltimore. Some of them even, have ended up making national news. I think one of them from Baltimore was on Rogan not too long ago. I forget his name. But there was one I wrote an article about named Danny Crystal, and they were like leaving dead rats on his car when he got back to his car, because he was the rat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
After he had filed a complaint. So the Baltimore City Police Department definitely has a history of intimidating their own, for sure. And I'm sure it's not unique to that area.
Well, yeah, that's what that whole stupid thin blue line is all about. They protect each other. They protect each other at all costs, including against each other, against themselves, you know. And it's even more egregious because it's definitely more widespread than just Baltimore, because I've been talking about this for years. It's, you know, anytime somebody does ask me that, or, you know, somebody makes the comment, you know, that, oh, not all cops are bad, and it's like, well, no, let's look at this. If there's good cops, then wouldn't they be turning in the bad ones? Well, okay, then we get to, well, why aren't they? And then of course you see these stories do happen all the time. Whether they're trying to intimidate people, you know, the citizenry, or intimidate each other to keep in quiet, they'll do whatever is necessary. And you know, like I said, that's why on one hand it does seem like it's too obvious that he was killed the day beforehand, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, Baltimore, I've driven through there on many, many occasions, and there are cameras on every single block, man. I mean, and they say they got this scuffle with some man in a black hoodie on camera, but that could be anybody. That could be somebody that they you know, set up to do that. And then they got rid of him real quick. I mean, you know, they should have been able to track that guy down with helicopters and those cameras like they do every crack dealer in Baltimore.
Well, sure, you would think so. I mean, the other interesting thing that I was curious about just in reading the two articles was the fact that, like, what were they out doing? Like, why, like, were they on patrol or something, or were they out doing something else? Because it refers to the fact that the guy who wasn't his partner but who was with him that day had you call 911. Did he have to go to a phone and call them or something? Like, he didn't have his radio.
Yeah, that's the other weird thing about this, is they were out to look for some witness, not a suspect, but a witness, somebody who was a neutral person who wasn't any threat to them. And apparently they could not find that person. And then according to the police's side of the story, that the officer who was killed saw a suspicious person, went to question the suspicious person about them being suspicious, and then had a scuffle with them and ended up being shot. No other details have been talked about, and that's another thing that stinks to high heaven, you know?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, you know, well, I mean, I keep saying it, but I keep coming back to the same conclusion. On their own, all together... Yeah, something's definitely up here, and you wonder why people don't have any faith in the police, whether it be Baltimore or otherwise. But this seems just like extremely egregious.
Yeah, and I would recommend people check out the press conference with the police commissioner too, because he stumbles all over the place. He definitely contradicts himself, and when he talks that story about the suspicious person, he's like, he was just stopping a person who is suspicious. There's no other reason to believe anything other than that. There's no reason to believe that this is a part of any conspiracy. Literally says that.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's gotten brought up enough at this point.
Let us not tolerate any outrageous conspiracy theories.
That's the thought that went through my head when you said that. Yeah.
What is that? I should know that.
Bush. 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 Baby Bush.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, so, like I said, you wonder why people don't trust cops. They do stuff like this. Worms.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
And we're back. Last segment. We were talking about the wonderful things cops do. And there was actually another story from John about some other wonderful cops up in my neck of the woods.
What
they've been up to.
It's another story of intimidation and the thin blue line, like you were talking about earlier. In this situation, actually, though, two NYPD cops... allegedly, well, I mean, it's pretty much proven now, but they picked up an 18-year-old girl with, you know, I guess she was with two male friends, and they threatened all three of them. They basically kidnapped her and said that they had to search her, and they made, you know, they strip searched her essentially in the back of a police van in a Chipotle parking lot. And then they both raped her. And then, you know, an hour later, she, you know, they drop her off, of course, back on the street. And an hour later, she gets her mother and she goes directly to the hospital to report the incident and get a rape kit and all that. And then 9 NYPD cops show up to the hospital and try to intimidate the girl and her mother out of filing a police report and pressing charges. And, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff like that. They were trying to cover up their name tags. They were making threats. They were accusing the girl of making the stories up. Yeah, pretty nasty stuff. So then, once they did go through with the rape kit, of course, these cops' DNA shows up on the rape kit, and then they switch their story and say that the whole thing was consensual, which is completely impossible. You know, you can't kidnap somebody and then say that something happens under that, you know, while they're kidnapped is consensual. It just doesn't work like that. So, yeah, that's a pretty interesting story. So I guess the girl and her mother are suing the city for like $50 million now, I believe.
Excellent.
Right, yeah. On.
More money. More money that the tax cattle will have to shell out to pay for these things.
Yeah, I mean, they should come out directly out of the, you know, at least out of the police union or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's never going to happen. I mean, I've been calling that for years. Even before I was an anarchist, I think I was calling for that when I was really trying to be like a good political activist. But that was like one of my things that is just like, it's insane that you want to talk about bad cops, good cops, whatever. Okay, you want to make them more accountable. Well, that's how you make them more accountable. you have it come out of their paycheck, because it doesn't, you know. So many times these people, unless they actually end up getting convicted and spend time in jail and lose their, you know, get fired from the force that way. Most of the time in a lot of these different situations, whether it's something like this, whether they're being accused of rape or whether they killed somebody or whether, you know, whatever they did, more often than not, if they do end up leaving the force, they just like go away quietly with like, you know, extra money thrown their way, and then they still get their fat pension, you know. and so there's like, you know, no reason to be accountable, because even if they are even if there is a suit in the courts like this, most of the time, you know, people end up getting demoted at most a lot of these times I've seen it happen. It's just crazy, man. And or if there's enough backlash, then like I said, then the city will finally fire him. But they'll still find a way to give him their pension and everything.
Even in this situation, they didn't get fired. They had to resign because of all the controversy. But they did not get fired. And even after they resigned, cop in charge. I'm not sure if it commissioner or sheriff, whatever name NYPD. Boss over there, he said, oh well, if they didn't resign, I would have fired them if they were convicted, even though their DNA showed up and they admitted engaging in those acts with, you know, a teen girl who obviously was of age, but of age for like how long? And regardless of arguments around the age of consent, I mean, I think that's a debate that's open for question, but still.
You're talking about from a legal aspect, of course.
And there's no consent when you have somebody in a basic state of kidnap.
Even if they want to claim like, because like if it's consensual, the only way I could see it being consensual in that aspect is if they told her, hey, we're gonna threaten to throw you in jail, and she offered and said, "Hey, I'll do this." But even then, you know, it's still messed up.
Listening to Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, and they didn't find any drugs.
And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach, and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital. educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
When we left off, I was starting to say that we were talking about the whole issue of consent and whether this whether it was possible that this situation could be consensual, as the cops are trying to claim now. Of course, after it was kind of proven that they did have sex with her, I was starting to say that if even if she tried to offer it as like a way of getting out, like then you could call it maybe consensual. But again, John's point that he brought up in the article that we talked about, that, well, once you're in their custody, it's kind of hard to have anything be consensual, because they pulled you over to be, grabbed you, harassed you, and kidnapped you temporarily to start off with.
Anything that happens, exactly.
But the other point about that I was gonna try to get to before that the commercial hit was that, what the police commissioner said, that he would have fired them if they were convicted of it. But even if that scenario that I was just talking about is what actually played out, then still they're guilty of doing that on the clock, exactly. Should be automatic grounds for firing. Here in Nassau County, it was, I don't even remember how long ago it was, but even longer than that, I guess back in the 1995 to 2000, somewhere in that range, 96, 97, 98, I was working at a 7-Eleven. And across the street, directly across the street from the 7-Eleven, well, diagonally, I guess, but pretty much you could see it, look out from any of the windows, you could see this, was the 7th Precinct. And, the cops in there all the time, but one couple particular cops were in there a lot, and they seemed to be very friendly with all the other employees when I got there. And then I learned why afterwards, because these guys would, giving them free stuff at the store all the time, they would essentially, get us out of tickets and, look the other way for certain things. But one of them was doing that, and then also apparently hooking up with a couple of my friends, it turned out, but a whole slew of people, and he was constantly doing other job, but it took them forever to catch this guy, because he was really slick about it too, and he was married the whole time too. I think it caught his wife, I think, well, at least she acted surprised when he was finally busted for and thrown off the force. When I heard the story that had finally happened, that was well over a decade at least from when I remember, back when I remember hanging out and him being around, them hanging out with us while they were on duty, and we'd be drinking at the park, which of course you're not supposed to be drinking in public like that, or you're not supposed to be at the park after dark either, because the stupid laws they have around here, but because it's public property and they set the rules, even though it's supposed to be somehow mine, public and all belonging to everybody, but that's the whole contradiction of public property. Everybody owns it, nobody owns it all at the same time. It's Schrodinger's property. But So like I said, even if these guys were doing it consensually, they're still doing it on the clock. And that's just aside from just being a normal workplace violation, because most workplaces kind of frown upon you having sex while you're getting paid for it, unless that's the industry you're in, on top of it, there's the added insult that, his salary, of course, we're all, especially me here in New York, I don't have to pay the city taxes, thankfully, but the people in New York City do. And it's their money. They're paying for this guy to get people to get their jollies off. I mean, that's what I was doing out here with this guy. You know, I didn't realize it until years later, obviously. But at the time, I thought it was funny as all get out that this particular guy was using his taxpayer funded gig to do that. So.
Yeah, and the other fishy thing about this story is, like, okay, if that's what they're saying happened, they just picked this girl off the street for, you know, no reason. I mean, they accused her of having drugs, but there's no evidence anywhere. And, you know, they just picked some girl up that, you know, they did that, and then they dropped her off. So, you know, this isn't like, you know, hooking up with your girlfriend or mistress or something while you're on the clock. This is using your position authority to pick some random girl off the street. You know what I'm saying? That is, right. I really feel like them saying it's consensual, like, it's like probably the only way that they could wiggle out of this legally, probably.
Well, yeah, you'd think so, but. You know, I'm sure that's the, you know, story they're going to play, because, you know, I guess trying to play devil's advocate, I mean, as much as I hate the NYPD and, you know, especially with the whole intimidation thing, that I totally buy, because, you know, I dealt with that when I went through my stuff earlier this year, because there was NYPD officers that were involved in the threatening and intimidating of me and my friends, you know, so I'm well aware that they are quite not only capable, but they actively engage in this on their off time. So I have no time believing that a bunch of them would show up in order to talk. And again, that, like, we want to talk about, you know, we're talking about the other story in Baltimore about how there's so many suspicious things. There may not be as many here, but that one right there, like, why do they all show up there? And it's not like this isn't something that just, like, you know, the mother and the girl, or even the girl and her mother, could have just made up, because, as you pointed out in the article, it was corroborated by a nurse who was there,
right,
who told them not to, you know, don't be intimidated by them, you know, stand tall, basically, and don't listen to them. So, like, they definitely were there. You know, like, why are all those cops showing up for this one girl, you know, regardless of whether they think it's a false accusation or not? Why are nine of them showing up at, you know, at once? Like, that's like, does anybody think that's normal behavior? You know, not necessarily you guys. I'm like, you know, our listeners out there who may not necessarily agree with all of our things, or the people who just stumble across the show and are going, "What the heck is this all about?" Yeah, when it comes to cops, and you know, I'm somebody who gets accused of just hating cops in general, and I'll never think they could do any good, which isn't true. You know, I do have a special hatred for the NYPD, but that's because of my past experiences and experiences of my friends, and then seeing all these other stories. So it may, you know, of course, it's easier for me to confirm my bias, but, you know, I've seen enough of this over the years. So, like, you know, does anybody think that's normal behavior for nine police officers, even more than one or two, to show up and not, and, you know, even like in the process of interviewing, or maybe get to that point and be like, "Hey, you know, are you sure about this?" But, like, for nine of them to show up and outright say, you know, "Why, you know, you're making false accusations. This can't possibly be true." You know, that's insane, man. That's got to throw up red flags for anybody who's not in the NYPD.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. And to the whole, you know, defense of consent, it's like, well, once they detain you and you're not free to go, then you're there under duress, and consent cannot be implied. It must be absolutely explicit. And I doubt, and like you said, even if she were to give explicit consent for that whole thing, they're on the job. You know, they're getting paid by our taxpayer theft-funded money. So either way you look at it, it's still immoral.
Well, yeah. Exactly. There's no way getting around it. And that's what I was starting to say before with playing the devil's advocate. Like, if that's the route they were going to take, like, I could see that, I guess, you know, if this girl were to prove to be, like, you know, something comes out that she's just like a habitual liar or whatever, you know, like, I'm not saying that's the case at all. You know, but if that were, like, you could see it if they were having sex with her consensually, and like either they're married or they're whatever, they're with somebody and they don't want them to find out. So at first when it comes up, yeah, let's just kind of blow this off. But then it's like, oh yeah, that, yeah, now there's proof. Well, now I can't deny it. Now I have to, you know, lesser of two evils. Now I go with this route. Now, basically. Yeah. So it's, just, but you know, again, either way, it doesn't look good. But I'll probably end up forgetting about this case, but I should probably try to follow this one, because you know, this is another one of those cases, like, let's see what actually happens to these guys, you know.
Like, yeah, it'll be interesting, because a lot of times, you know, they just get a slap on the wrist and they go to another department.
Yeah, you know, and especially, like I said, because because you said it was a $50 million lawsuit, I think, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, usually if they win and get anywhere close to that, then usually they'll have no choice but to fire them or get rid of them in some way, or like make them resign, like have them resign or whatever. You know, because of the public, you know, at that point, it's really hard to ignore. But, you know, like I said, I've tracked a lot of these over the years. And if you actually go looking into them, like, they still end up getting their money. You know, they still end up getting their pensions.
They get a good severance package and their pension is untouched.
Yeah. And like you said, John, eventually they end up working in another department somewhere, you know. They can always go to some small town place somewhere, you know, let it cool down for a little while, go somewhere else. I'm like, they'll pop up somewhere else. And any place that's in need of good law enforcement, somebody who has experience, you know, some people are turned off by people from New York. But when it comes to like police departments, it's like, oh, you have a lot of experience. Oh, you could do a lot of good here, you know, and you see these guys get rehired all the time. It's horrible. So, yeah. I mean, hopefully at the very least they get, you know, they get thrown off the force quickly. That would be nice, because they don't, you know, regardless of the outcome of the story.
They resigned. They weren't.
Oh, that's right. They resigned. I was thinking about
the
other one.
They were forced to, basically, just because of the controversy.
Yeah. I was thinking about the other story. But yeah, no, it was like, hopefully they... I guess hopefully the people get their money, because even though I don't like the way
they actually see time. They see time too.
Yeah, that'll be nice. Like, hopefully it'll actually. Well, I mean, if they're going against the city, it's just a civil trial, right? So it's not even. They're not that, you know. They don't even get.
Well, no, yet. The lawsuit is different, but I do believe they are facing at least like both of them are facing at least 50 charges apiece.
With Michael Dean and his weird friends.
I think we're out.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Meow, meow. And we're back for the final segment. And I don't know if we have any redemption. We kind of did redemption during the whole first hour. That's kind of our all of our crypto news has been positive over the past month or so that we've been doing that, so we haven't necessarily needed a redemption. But I don't even know if what I actually got out on the air before we went to the last break in the last story that we were covering, because the music was rolling in. But you know, you were saying, John, that there's actually whatchamacallit, I guess, I don't know if there's indictments yet, but they're facing 50 different charges.
50 different charges, which range from kidnapping to rape, which is interesting to see cops get charged with kidnapping. It's very interesting to see that.
Well, that's what it basically is anytime they arrest someone.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, there's a little irony there, but, you know, of course.
But I guess when they don't do it under a legitimate pretense, I'm using air quotes here, that is when they can get charged with kidnap, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know, as long as they do it the legal way, it's fine. You know, they can they're allowed to quote unquote legally kidnap people and legally cage people and legally harass people
and
legally
shoot. And then if you get raped in there, it's okay. If you get raped in the cage, it's okay.
Of course. But my first thought when I started hearing you say that was, well, that's interesting for a number of reasons, one of which would be that, you know, you start off with like that many charges, and if it was any one of us, you know, things would work in the reverse, because if there's like 50 possible charges on the table right now, you know, even if it goes all the way through and they get indicted and then they go and then it goes to, you know, they actually have to face some kind of trial. You can imagine by the time it happens, those charges will have been whittled down. Whereas in the reverse, when it's us, the average Joe who something happens to, they tack charges on. You know,
exactly.
I've spoken to that before because that's what happened to me. I mean, luckily it was only one, but it's still one that didn't need to be there, and it's just like because they can. And their goal is to tack on as many. But when it comes to them, you know, one of their own, they'll, you know, usually lessen the charges because, again, even the, you know, a lot of the cases that I followed, even the ones that do end up getting indicted, you know, which is rare, and the ones that get convicted, which is even more rare, they still manage to get, like, lesser charges, you know, lesser sentences than any one of us would have gotten, you know. So, like, even in those instances, they're still getting, you know, they're still proving that they are above us, you know, that they're better than us as far as the system's concerned, you know, because it goes the same for all, you know, pretty much all government workers.
They're still above the law.
Yeah, even when they're fired, they still find ways to get better off in most cases. So again, hopefully something will actually happen to these guys. You know, if the kidnapping one actually, like, that one would just be the ultimate for me. You know, of course, that's not discounting if what this girl claims is the story, if that actually happened. Of course, you know, I'm not discounting any of that. But for me, a lot of personal justice will be served if they were to actually get charged and have to face trial for kidnapping, you know.
Yeah, it would just be very ironic.
Yeah. But, you know, again, unfortunately, I've seen it happen too many times where they do not serve, you know, what they should, even by the law's own standards, much less what I think they deserve for doing whatever they did in whatever situation it is, you know.
I cover these stories on a regular basis. I mean, I'd say I do at least like 3 cop stories a week when I'm feeling good anyway, when I'm not sick. And, you know, I've never seen a cop do time that any of us would have.
Yeah, yeah. So doesn't work. The system doesn't work for you, you know, unless you're part of it.
And that's so, the name of the game.
That gets proven, and that's, you know, again, that's the one thing I always hope that when these stories come out, that at least hopefully more people will become aware of it and go, hey, wait a minute, this really does seem, you know, this doesn't really add up, because, you know, regardless of how they want to spin it, it's still, you know, there's still too many holes. It's still like, well, why'd you change your story so quickly? Why did 9 of your buddies have to show up to try to convince this girl of something? You know, like, again, that one for me is like one of the biggest red flags of this. It's like, how do people not like see that and just everybody be storming the police stations? I don't know.